we're in the early stage of a long and complicated negotiation. And both sides, as we know in negotiations, will set out their initial positions in order to try and set out a position which the other side may then move towards. So I suspect that a lot of this is early positioning. Now, what I would say is, as we know with any political negotiation, if there's a will from both sides to find a solution, however unorthodox or unusual, we cannot rule that out. So I think some of these absolutes will probably not stand the test of time when it comes to the true negotiations.
He's also said Britain has yet to face the facts on Brexit. I mean, what do you think he means by that, and what are the facts?
Well, I think there is perhaps, I think there's a growing recognition now, but I suspect that we haven't yet fully taken on board some of the positions of the other 27 in the negotiation. I mean, people talk a lot about the pressures from exporters in the European Union, that the German car manufacturers will like to keep trade open and so on, and that is indisputable. But at the same time, there are certain political imperatives that the governments of the European Union, in terms of keeping the coherence of the Union as a whole, not allowing Brexit to cause fragmentation amongst the other 27, keeping the single market structure for the 27, without allowing too much complexity and so on and so forth, which means that there are only limited rooms for manoeuvre on both sides. And I think we have to start to recognise that.
I know you're primarily concerned with the Monetary Policy Committee, but from what you know, are the Bank of England drawing up plans for Brexit, contingency plans? What are they looking at? Because, I mean, the planning for this must be incredibly complicated because no one can really know.
Well, much of the planning, of course, has to take place within Whitehall, within the Department for Exiting the EU, within the Foreign Office, within the Trade Department and within the Treasury. As far as the Monetary Policy Committee is concerned specifically, I mean, the main consideration that we have is to what extent will the implications of the referendum result and the way in which people change behaviour, both consumers and businesses, affect the economy over the next 2 to 3 year horizon. And therefore, to what extent do we need to consider that when setting our policy judgment in terms of hitting our inflation target over that 2 year period. So from that point of view, we're very interested in to what extent has confidence started to crumble as a result of the referendum result or the negotiations, to what extent are consumers reacting to the rise in inflation as a result of the fall in the pound, and so on. More those sorts of real economy issues than anything much longer term.
It's difficult for people who aren't economists to really decide whether the signs are positive or negative, because you have a bank say, well, we're going to move X number of staff to Dublin or whatever. And then you have Liam Fox saying, well, inward investment into the UK is at record levels, which shows that surely that there's a huge amount of confidence in the British economy. So how do ordinary people sort of work out whether things are positive or negative?
I'm afraid with difficulty. It's very early days. As I say, I think we're still in the foothills of the negotiations. And of course, those negotiations will really only get going, I think, once we get some greater clarity in terms of the politics in Europe. Angela Merkel comes up for re-election in Germany in the early autumn, and that will need to be got over before I think we can get to that many solutions. So I think it's very early days to be clear. Even those such as the Bank of England who are observing, we're not centrally part
and
of those negotiations.
Do you think
find it difficult?
That there should be, or there must be, a transitional period, particularly for individual sectors of the economy, maybe the City of London being a prime example, where they could continue with current arrangements while whatever comes next is put into effect. Do you think a transitional period is inevitable, desirable?
If I talk in a personal capacity rather than on behalf of the bank, because we don't have an institutional position.
We've done very well.
26
minutes, and that's the first time you've had to say that.
Okay, but on a personal level, I would think it would be helpful as long as it can be negotiated, because that allows, I mean, I come from a business background, and what we do know is that businesses do not like sudden change.
Yep.
If we can have a transition period so that they can adapt to the new trading and investment relationships, that would clearly be beneficial for the economy.